This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
We're going to talk to Blake Lovell right now. He is the assistant editor, Blue Ribbon Basketball, at the Blake Lovell there on Twitter. And he joins us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Blake, hope you're doing well. Last night, what we saw, I saw your timeline there on Twitter. It was video game-like. Alabama putting up 43 threes, but knocking down 23. If people hadn't taken notice of Nate Oates and the Crimson Tide, I think they are now.
Yeah, they are for sure. I think just the way they play, man, they are just they're on another level right now. I texted that to someone last night. They were asking, you know, well, where do you kind of what's the next group behind Alabama? I don't know, because they're playing, you know, at a level that no one else is playing like right now. And so it is just the style of play. I think their defense has gotten better. That's something, too. We look at the offense and everything, but you know, their defense has really improved from last season, and I think that's something that's playing a big key in this whole turnaround as well. But they're just something else right now. They're certainly the best team in the SEC, and I think everyone else is trying to play that race for number two at this point.
Well, Blake, when you think about number two in the nation, you talk about Baylor, Villanova, Iowa, Texas, Tennessee, teams that are kind of in the mix for that. Tennessee may have been before last night. Gonzaga, the clear number one. When you think about that grouping of teams, how far away is Alabama from where those teams are today?
They're not that far, and I know, you know, we always talk about when you can compare, like, those great Kentucky teams or some of those great Florida teams and that kind of stuff. Like, those teams have always been able to be, you know, right there near the top with the best in the country. And I just don't think this Alabama team, with the way they're playing right now, they're not any different. Like, they have the type of offense, you know, to be able to go toe-to-toe with an Iowa who does, you know, offensively at least. You look at all the tools that they have on offense, but who's to say a team like Alabama shooting the ball the way they shoot it, the style they play, you know, they can go toe-to-toe with an Iowa. And then you look at a team like Baylor. Baylor, statistically, you know, probably the best defensive team in the country, but, you know, Tennessee, statistically, may be one of the top five best teams in the country, too. But Alabama was able, you know, to do what they needed to do to win that game. So I just think, again, everybody's going to point at the offense, but I think the defense, too, is something to where they're able to kind of create some things off of their defense. And just being able to do that, I think, is such a big difference from a season ago. So now that they kind of have that total package, it's just hard for teams to be able to keep up with a team like this. So I think Alabama could certainly hang with anybody right now.
In regards to Nate Oates, are you surprised that he's having this type of success this quickly in his tenure in Tuscaloosa?
I don't necessarily think so, because I think he quickly recognized what you have to do to win in the SEC and in college basketball. I think, you know, this is a, we can make all the, you know, statements we want about the league and this or that, but like, it's a league where the best teams usually are able to thrive off of their guards. And, you know, you look around at the SEC and it seems like every year we go into the season saying, hey, you know, the SEC, there's four or five different teams that may have two of the best guards, you know, in the country, and that tandem group on their team that they can rank with anyone. And I think that's something to where he quickly identified the need for that. And, you know, getting John Petty back, being able to group him with all these other guys that he has there now, and, you know, Shackelford and Quinterly and Primo, and just they have the depth at guard, I think, which is exactly what you need to succeed in the SEC. But they also really, their talents fit so well with how he wants to play. And I think that's the biggest thing, is sometimes it's not just getting the guys who maybe have the most stars or anything like that. It's finding the guys who are very talented but can also fit into your system. And I think that's the biggest advantage he's had thus far.
And Blake, so when we look at the Southeastern Conference as a whole, where some of the teams are down, of course, Alabama, the year that they're having, Tennessee until last night, Missouri, you could throw Arkansas, LSU into that mix. Kentucky is viewed as down this season. How do basketball people around the country, how are we viewing the SEC as far as power rankings with other Power 5 conferences in the 2020-2021 basketball season?
You know, the SEC is not as strong as I thought it would be. I think I came into the season thinking maybe 7-8 teams even potentially. I don't think they're going to get there at this point. And I think, you know, a lot of people will say, well, is that just because of Kentucky? Well, it's not, but that also plays a pretty big role in it too, because, you know, Kentucky is usually a team you can bank on. If you're an SEC team trying to build an NCAA tournament resume, that's usually a win that you can bank on in terms of saying, okay, if I beat Kentucky, that's really going to help me. Well, you beat Kentucky right now, it's not going to do anything for you. So I think you look around at the rest of the league, you know, Florida kind of in that middle range right now after that win against Tennessee, which that was significant for them just to kind of play their way into that mix of potentially being in the tournament. But really elsewhere, you know, how do you figure out a team like South Carolina who only played 7 games at this point, whereas, you know, Alabama's played 15. And then you go up and down the line, Arkansas has no non-conference resume to speak of. They've lost to the 4 best teams arguably in the SEC at this point. So they got to find quality wins. I mean, elsewhere, I think right now it's Alabama, Tennessee, LSU, and I think I would even put Missouri in that group. Florida has certainly made a point after last night. But beyond those 5 guys, I don't know what the rest of it's going to look like. And so it's going to be interesting to see how things kind of play out there with everyone else.
What part of this Alabama team concerns you if they were to when they get to the postseason and from might keep them from making an Elite Eight Final Four run?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, and you know, I haven't always agreed with this thought, but I think when you have a team, we watched it last night. Like, we saw when they can shoot the ball to that level, it is going to be hard to beat them. And no, you know, on the flip side of that, if they don't make as many of those, you know, they probably still beat LSU, but if there are some of those games where you do go up against a team that can really find a way to defend the 3 pretty well, because LSU, this is not to take anything away from Alabama, but that was the big knock we had on LSU going into this game was LSU is a great offensive team, but their defense is not very good. And so I think if you're Alabama, you know, as we said, we've already seen what they're capable of against a team like Tennessee. But, you know, if you're trying to go deep in the tournament, you're playing those teams like Baylor and some of those other just great defensive teams, maybe that's something to point out to where, okay, let's say they do find a way to – I think it's going to be hard to shut down Alabama completely from 3, but if they try to limit some of the things that they can do there, I still think Alabama has the guards to be able to score in other ways, but that is something that I think you're going to point out and say, okay, if they are really struggling on a night from 3 and you're going to have one of those games somewhere along the way, what are the other ways you can find to beat them? And I do think, though, that's where their improved defense will really help probably in a season like this.
Blake, what is your opinion and what a difference maker Sharif Cooper has made for the Auburn basketball team?
Yeah, they're completely different with him on the floor. And I was saying this to someone the other day. I mean, we talk about the SEC and trying to figure out how many teams they're going to get in the tournament. I think Auburn's going to be that team to where we know they're not going to be in the tournament, and so they're going to be playing the spoiler role, I think, pretty much the rest of the way. Those teams like Arkansas, potentially Florida, you know, teams like that who maybe are trying to find those wins to be able to get into the tournament, I think a team like Auburn could really mess things up for them, because with Cooper on the floor, it's just a completely different dynamic for them on offense. You know, they had struggled with turnovers, and you know, I go back to how has Auburn had all this success in recent years? Well, they've had some really good point guard play, whether it was Jared Harper, you know, Samir Dowdy, Javon McCormick, those guys played pretty well too. So I think that's just a big part of Bruce Pearl's system is you really need a guy at the point that can be able to kind of do the different things that Sharif Cooper can. He can do so many different things just at the guard position. I mean, you know, he can score, he can pass, he can do everything. So I think that's really going to help them the rest of the way. And then again, we know they're really not playing for a whole lot in terms of tournament wise, but just to be able to kind of play that role for them to maybe keep some of these other SEC teams out, they're going to be hard to deal with.
Blake, obviously Andy Kennedy taking over the UAB basketball program. We believe that, you know, CUSA probably gets one into the tournament, but based on what you've seen so far, the players that he's brought in, your perception and reaction to what's happening there on the south side with the 2020-2021 UAB Blazers?
Yeah, he's done a fantastic job, and I think he was someone, you know, we talk about Nate Oates being able to identify what you need to win. I mean, he went out right away as soon as he got that job and got the players that, you know, he felt like were going to be able to give him that mix of not only just a talented roster, but he got some experience, and I think that's so important. You know, we look at a team like Kentucky, we talk about them being down and all that. They just have no experience, and because of the offseason that we had where guys weren't able to be together, they don't have that chemistry already built in. I think for them to have some older guys on the roster, for him to bring those guys in, and to get some guys back, you know, from the previous regime, I just think that mix has really helped them get off to a good start. And look, I mean, we knew too, this was, for Andy Kennedy, this just felt like the perfect situation, you know, to be able to go back to UAB, And I think that always plays a role, too. I don't think you underestimate the fact that you've got a guy that's going back to where, you know, he's had a lot of valuable years throughout his life and career, and just that motivation to be able to get them to a level that maybe they've never been to before. And the way he's built the roster thus far, he's done a really good job, and I think they're going to be right there, certainly, with an opportunity towards the end of the season.
Great stuff, Blake Lovell, assistant editor, Blue Ribbon Basketball, at the Blake Lovell there on Twitter. Good stuff, Blake. We'll check in with you hopefully in a couple of weeks. We'll get the conference tournament started, and then there in the middle of March we'll have the selection day there for the NCAA tournament, and I'm sure we'll be talking about the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Blake Lovell joining us on the McUltra Organic Seltzer Hotline with zero sugar, zero carbs, and only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.
This is Three Man Front.